Good morning. It is a Tuesday morning. We're with our political observer, Alan Chartok. We're going to start with President-elect Joe Biden calling out the Office of Management and Budget in the Defense Department as agencies where his transition team had encountered roadblocks from political leadership. He's accusing the Trump appointees of obstructing his transition. We've already heard a lot of that obstruction going on from the beginning. We thought the cooperation was happening. But now in a very sensitive area, he's saying, I'm getting roadblocks.
Well, that's right, David. He's got a tough road to hoe here. He's got to worry, on the one hand, about his whole idea of reconciling the country. And he's been pretty good about saying that. But on the other hand, he can't afford to be walked over. Here is Trump, who demands his presence in the headlines every day and doesn't give the Biden people any breathing room whatsoever. And at the same time, he is kicking the Biden people in the behind, Trump is, of course, in a way that is just unsatisfactory. So you just imagine that the Biden people are saying to their boss, hey, you've got to somehow call him off. And that is what Biden is forced to do right now. I must say, the security and the future of this country is now in the incoming president's hands. If he doesn't tell Trump off and let him know that this is unsatisfactory, people will perceive him as not being as strong as he should be. So he's doing what he needs to do, and he's doing it in a moderate fashion. And he did grab back all the headlines yesterday when he did it. So that is something that obviously he had in mind, and he did it, and he did it well. Now we are faced with the Pence situation, because as the Congress gathers to certify the election, it will be Vice President Pence who is presiding. And he is being urged by the president, that's obvious, to do his job, which is a formalistic one, doesn't give him the power to do, and to turn over the election. Some people say, well, if he does that, then Nancy Pelosi becomes the president and this and that. But in fact, they are trying their best to do what they can to overturn the entire election and to turn what has been a peaceful transference of power in this country into a horrible form of, well, coming dictatorship. That's what it would be. If the people aren't allowed to vote, you know what you got. We know what Hitler did, and we know what other people have done. When I've used that analogy in the past, people have said it's not fair. Yes, it's fair. This country has one thing going for it that is above all important, and that is the peaceful transference of power, something that a lot of other countries don't do. You know, Trump has a lot of friends, Putin, Duterte, you name them, and these are not people who are easily given to what America has always represented. So with Vice President Pence, we are hearing that the day after he is given this responsibility, which he may well abuse because he sees that as his political future, he's going to go on an extended trip and get out of the country. That is not good news, because it may well mean that he's going to do something that's particularly despicable. And I, for one, am worried about it.
What do you make of the House overriding the president's veto of the defense bill, setting up the first such rebuke during his presidency? The Senate will also vote this week and appears to have the two-thirds majority necessary. Senate leader Mitch McConnell, in a rare break with Trump, he urged the passage of the defense bill despite the veto threat. Is he losing some of his hold on these Republican leaders?
Well, I think to some degree. But, David, what you have to look at here is the American war economy. General Eisenhower, Ike, to so many, warned about this coming dependence on the defense industry. And, in fact, it so permeates this country that while it has many important things, a good deal of this country has relations, let's put it that way, with the defense industry. And so when it comes to the Congress of the United States, there's almost nothing else that would make them override this president, but this defense stuff will.
Well, the state of New York has banned most evictions as tenants struggle to pay the rent. The measure, passed during an unusual special session, will bar landlords from evicting most tenants for at least another 60 days. The bill would also protect some small landlords from foreclosure. It's one of the most comprehensive anti-eviction laws in the nation, and probably one of the reasons why many Democrats in the Congress wanted more. They want these $2,000 checks. They want more money infused because of things like, well, we can't pay the rent.
Well, that's right. David, one of the worst things in the world is the idea of being thrown out of your home. Because, in fact, when you think about it, there are many more tenants than there are landlords. But in the end, David, it is the landlords who are going to be out. And as a result of that, there is a limit on how long this goes on. I believe it's a couple of months. The theory being, I'm sure, that people will take the vaccine and that people will feel better and people will go back to work. So it's not a no eviction ever law. It's for a couple of months. The governor couldn't wait to sign it. And he's a political person. He knows what the implications are. The legislature knew it. And now we'll have to see whether or not they have to come back and extend that even further.
Of course, this all a ripple effect of the pandemic, which continues. New York is now just over 8% infection rate. The governor is looking at a criminal investigation. Parcare Community Health Network is accused of violating state guidelines and giving out COVID-19 vaccines to people who were not on the state's priority list.
David, it was inevitable that this was going to happen. As I have intoned so many times, politics is the authoritative allocation of scarce resources. It's who gets what and how. And there's always somebody who will skip a line one way or the other. The governor is right to insist that if somebody is taking it and is not online and is not in the right place, that there should be a criminal investigation.
Our political observer, Alan Chartok, with us. Be safe and keep on keeping on, everyone.
That's right, everybody. And remember, WAMC is here for you. I don't want to be a bore about it, but I want to tell you, we're here for you because of you. This is your radio station. If you didn't say, okay, here's the money, here's something, we would not be here. And we might actually be like some of those other public radio stations, which are insipid and don't really tell you the truth. So it's up to you.